Hi, this is Chris Neal, and you're listening to the Sens Call-Ups.
From Studio 65 of the Sens Underground Network, welcome to Season 2, Episode 18 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, January 22nd, 2014. I'm Cardinal, and Canuck, Pan, and I are back with an interesting week to talk about. With a big comeback that falls a bit short against a division rival, a bad game, and a shutout win, the Senators are keeping us on our toes, and the rest of the league has been just as interesting. From line brawls to an attempted pro-wrestling eye-gouging, email, Twitter, comments from listeners, we've got it all. As always, we welcome your email to podcast@sensecallups.com. You can find us on Twitter and in the online forums at sensunderground.com. Canuck, have they given you your freedom yet, or do you still have a guard watching over you?
Free Canuck!
No, I'm still being escorted around. That's well into week two of this, and probably about a week left.
Charming. Always fun.
I was just talking to Pan before we started hit record, and it's pretty tiring, you know. Like, I mean, it's a normal day, I guess, 8:30 to 5, plus all the transit time. But I think it's just the fact that, you know, I don't have access to my regular job, so that stuff's piling up. And, you know, you'd have no time to yourself because you're always, someone's always with you. You can't just kind of escape and take a moment to recollect your thoughts. And so it's tiring.
In other words, you can't slack off. Is that what you're saying? No, I know the feeling all too well.
See, I'm too tired to think of a comeback there.
I'm just giving you the gears.
Just snapping them.
Speaking of gears, Pan, do you have a car story for us this week?
I was so happy. So, yeah, the car was totaled. I don't remember what detail I went into. So, or the fact that I got rear-ended in the rental car. Finally, I picked up my new car. It's beautiful. I love it. And yesterday, go and park in my building downtown, or it's valet. So I think it's the only one. That's gotta be the only one. So now you're really getting to know where I am. But so they go and park it yesterday after work. I go to check it, and there's a giant, about, I'd say maybe 14 inch scratch right on my door.
14 inch hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a giant cack at my door.
did you have a word with the valet?
Yeah. So I got into a fight with them too. It's like, because they sent me to their insurance, and they were really quick about that. Then the insurance is just like, okay, well, we need two quotes. I was like, you're going to go and eat yourself, because I'm going to go back to my dealership and I'm going to get them to fix it. And I don't care. So, but talking to the attendant, like, I can see white in the scratch. So they're like, it's, you know what? Either a paint stick or just a buff will probably get that out. So I'll see. So I'm going to go down to the drop it off at the dealership on Monday. Really wish that I could do this a little bit sooner. But you know why I can't? Because I only have $5 on my Presto card.
Well, then put some on yesterday.
Oh, you want to talk Presto?
Here we go. All right. It's ding, on. Ding,
ding. Yeah, because I've been using the Presto card going to and from work the last couple weeks.
Uh-oh.
And on Friday, like, I have been watching the balance as I'm checking in on the bus, and I look on Friday, and whatever, it's getting down to, like, under $10. Like, actually, I saw it around 18, and I'm like, okay, time to refill, because this is going to go fast, because I'm taking express buses. And I fill it up on Friday. I add, like, $50. And I get that message, it's going to take up to 24 hours to reload. Okay, I knew that. I already vented about that. Monday morning, boom, nope. Tuesday morning, boom, nope.
What?
It's still not on updated. What? I think it was two, yeah.
What? What?
So Tuesday on the way back, finally, I think I saw the price finally added up there. But that was pretty freaking close. Like Friday to Tuesday on my way back from work.
Nice. So they're making you sweat while keeping your money.
It's honestly nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It's very nerve-wracking, because if that thing goes under, then I'm toast. Then I have to go to Lincoln Fields or Rideau Center or something, and I need a bus to get there.
I think we've already had that rant, and it was pretty damn funny.
Anyway, so there you go, Gabrielle, because Gabrielle tweeted back for the questions. We're probably going to drop these throughout the episode, shake it up a bit, see how it goes, shake up the lines. So what did Pan do to his car this week? I didn't do anything. It's someone else again. Two rear ends in a car scratch.
Yeah,
134 kilometers on the car. I haven't even put my floor mats in.
But you see, it just becomes less and less believable. That you're not doing anything.
Chinese, but none of this is me. The insurance said so. Not a fault. Didn't happen.
Meanwhile, another incident by Pan. Third one in a month. Pan.
Yeah. Oh, you're involved. There you go. Let's get going. We got lots to talk about tonight.
All right. Game on!
Game 48 was Thursday, January 16th. The Habs were in town visiting the Senators. And Canuck, I believe this is one of the ones that we have a summary by a listener.
We do.
Excellent. It means I don't have to do it.
Bonjour tout le monde. Je suis Nicolas. My cousin, CB Inc., could not be here today, so I will fill in for the lazy Anglophone today. I'm going to tell you of the game of January 16th against the Canadiens. Anderson, he was in the net. The Price was there too. Chris Neal, still out. Early on the game, Diaz gives Conacher a stick to the head, and we go on to the power play. Not a very good one. Plekanec, he scores short-handed. 1-0 abs. Anderson, he did not look ready. Greening gets the breakaway, but there was no finish for him. I have to say that Lars Eller's dental implants, though, they are looking mighty fine. Stone, he gets a tripping call. 2 minutes. On that penalty, MacArthur gets away with the eye sticking, but Montreal gets the goal. 2-0 abs. And of course, a minute and a half later, 3-0 Montreal from a Deschanel wrist air. Anderson, way out of position on that one. MacArthur, he scores at the 17-minute mark. LeBou! From Carlson. Then, 1 minute later, 3-2 Montreal. Carlson. He did something. A beautiful pass from the Spezza. 19-7 shots for Ottawa in the first. This seems like a long game, no? In the second period, Bobby Ryan is playing with, how you say, intensity? Price, he puts on a goalie clinic and robs Mark Stone. But the Bobby, he scores a big time goal, scoring at 3. Just over a minute left in the third, and Turris scores, giving the lead going into the break. 19-10, shots for Ottawa in the second alone. Third period. Thinks they have settled down in a little bit. And Anderson stops the shot from Plekanec, but Cowan does his best Maple Leaf impression. Again, with the tie game. Tempers, they were a little heated at the end of regulation, but nothing comes of it. We need to go into overtime. All that is needed is for 20 seconds for Subban to score the goal. And during his celebration, he motions to the equipment manager that his shirt is a little dirty and needs a dry cleaning. Carey Price was in the net. Do not blame the Ottawa. Still, a good game to watch. We got the point. And remember, Leafs suck.
Thank you very much, CB Inc., for having your cousin do that summary for us. I only had one comment on that, and that was I don't think that there was an awful lot of commentary both on the TV and the post-game show on the radio that there wasn't much blame for Anderson on any of the first three goals because they were all really badly broken plays. The overtime goal, well, first the one that went off Cowan's foot and in, he didn't have a chance on, but the overtime goal was a bit weak. But I don't think the first three he had much to do with.
First shot, It's a breakaway, but he gets beat on a lot of them. Like, can't you just get one of them? But whatever, that one happens. The penalty kill one, he wasn't set. And then there was another one where he flew right out of the crease, swung left and was almost at the face-off circle.
Yeah, I don't agree.
Yeah. I watched these over and over and over again.
Well, I was watching the game in real time, but as well as all
I was
replays
there,
over and
so.
Over. Yes, yeah. But it's 250 feet from where you're sitting. I was watching on television.
Right, but I also watched them over and over again online afterwards because we got pretty heated about it too.
Well, the guys on TSN and AJ said that both agreed that those goals weren't Anderson's fault, so I'll go with them.
I don't know. My argument with it is he let in 3 goals on 5 shots or something like that. I think he got lucky in the fact that the team came back with 2 quick ones. And 4 goals on 23, that's not stealing games for you.
No.
And he's been pulled twice in Anaheim. That one I really didn't agree with him getting pulled on it. That's when we were down there. And he let in 2 on 4. And then the LA game here, he let in 2 on 9. So that's why I was just like, well, if it's 3 on 5, he didn't have a great night.
After the first 3, he had a pretty good night.
Except the first 3,
he didn't. He let in 3 goals.
Yeah, okay. Well, he let in 3 goals.
Then shake it up, just like you did, just like the coach would the other times, especially in Anaheim.
Didn't need to.
Because the team came back and scored 2. I think if they didn't, he would have probably changed it, but...
Whatever.
Just steal the game.
Unfortunately, I didn't see the first couple goals. But
a goalie can't steal a game all the time. The team in front of him was playing
crap. With that, but I don't remember I did like him in I think it was Washington. I'm in the wrong month. No, even this Washington game, I liked him. But I don't remember last time that he actually stole a game. And he looked a lot like Lalime.
So if a goalie isn't stealing a game, it's not good enough?
He just wasn't on.
Yeah, okay. Goalies have off nights. Happens all the time.
I think that was the point.
To any goalie.
If you're having an off night, just, hey, all right, it happens. Put the other guy in.
But I don't think he was having an off night. That's just it. If the team in front of him sets up broken plays, which set up those goals, and he's not stealing it, that's not him having a bad game. That's him not being able to bail the team out by having an absolutely stellar game every single night.
Yeah. No,
there's a difference between these two things.
I agree. I don't have a problem with Anderson. And I didn't see the first one or two to see how bad they looked. I saw the overtime one, of course, which looked really bad.
It was a stinker. That one should have been stopped.
But I've seen Brodeur let those in too.
Everybody does.
But I just get tired of the whole... You know, goalie X lets in a couple and immediately, usually it's the Twitterverse just erupts with, okay, well, Leonard.
Time to pull him. Pull him. Get him out there.
Leonard would have had it. Or Anderson would have had it.
Exactly. It's the whole, well, you didn't stop. You're not having the game of your life. Therefore, you're not playing well. Therefore, you should have been pulled.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole team, the first 10 minutes and the last 15 minutes of regulation, the Senators as a whole were playing like absolute garbage. It's not just, you know, you can't blame the goalie if the 5 skaters in front of him are just brutal. He can't stop every goal, especially if they're being handed to the opposition on a silver platter. Here you go. It's in our zone. We're scrambly. We got nothing. Shoot away.
But have you seen Anderson's Corsi? There is something definitely wrong there.
Well, I think that's a good segue to the Rangers game, actually.
Oh, no.
I had a couple of things I wanted to talk about this game other than Anderson.
All right.
The thing that really freaked me out about this game wasn't Subban's celebration, which I thought was offside, but that's just me.
You're racist.
I forgot about that.
You're only saying he's offside because he's black.
No, I'm saying it because he was being a jerk, and he's been a jerk like that since I saw him playing for Belleville when he was 16.
He's arrogant. Yeah.
Incredibly arrogant. He's a very skilled hockey player, and I would never say that he's not. because I've been watching him play for the better part of 7 or 8 years. He's a very skilled hockey player, but he's also an arrogant jerk and a weasel and a coward. Like let's think back to the playoffs last year. He jumped Turris and mounted him and kept pounding on him. But that, you know, how big is Turris compared? PK Subban is a big kid. Yeah.
Turris has to take 4,000 calories a day to survive.
Yeah, and I mean PK Subban is not small.
No,
but you think he's going to do that to Greiba or to Cowan or to Smith or to Chris Neal? No, he's not. He's going to jump somebody who's smaller than he is.
Oh, he's a hothead.
Montreal's playing in Pittsburgh today. The fans were booing him, just like Ottawa was.
I like it.
Who started the whole race card thing? I was kind of being sarcastic earlier, but...
That was Russell.
It
wasn't Russell.
No.
It
just always happens. It's an easy card to play, believe me.
Oh, yeah. It's far too easy by some. Now, the other thing I wanted to comment on this game was Montreal sent David Desharnais on a commercial flight to Ottawa.
Yes, that was kind of funny.
Because he had the flu, and they didn't want him to spread the flu to his teammates. Yeah. It's okay to spread it to an airplane full of people he doesn't know. But no.
Drive the hour and... Well, the way that I speed, an hour and a half.
We don't want him on the charter. Let him spread it to everybody else.
But with that, because where the airport is... I guess, where is it? It's not Laval, is it?
Dorval.
So Dorval to Ottawa, which is the south end of the town, plus his waiting time and all of that. Wouldn't it have just been easier for him to drive?
Totally. Well, or train or something.
Put him in a limo. Don't make him drive. And he'd be warmer because he wouldn't be going through cold jetways or anything.
And he wouldn't be spreading his nasty diseases.
Yeah. And I can't see it costing more than a last minute airline ticket. Anyway, no, I agree. I just thought it was, it was one of those moves where you sort of go, really? Okay. You don't want him to spread flu to his teammates, but it's okay to do it to a plane full of strangers. Got it.
But yeah, going back to that celebration, I'm pretty sure that, Subban was going at the fans with it and not the other players or anything else like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he was doing it with the fans.
I was there, and the fans were real hard on him. Real hard. And apparently, we missed an almost goalie fight tonight, too, between Fleury and Budaj.
Oh, dear.
This just happened, so I don't know.
I have to go and look at that.
The refs broke it up.
Fleury? Oh, Montreal's playing in Pittsburgh, right.
Yeah.
Fleury and Budaj. Fleury's not that big. I don't know how big Budaj is.
He's not.
Is he on? So two small goalies? Okay. I don't know. Anyway. Game 49, Saturday, January 18th. The Rangers were in town for another 2 o'clock in the afternoon game during hockey day in Canada. I was off fishing for this game. Well, fishing and ice fishing and riding snow machines. So
I was off fishing this day.
Okay. We'll talk about fishing after we get through it.
Yeah, I know. Freak, it's boring.
Canuck, did you see this game? Or do you not?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't have a recap for you too much of it, but.
I'll just say aluminum siding.
Aluminum siding. I don't know why. But.
Aluminium siding? All right.
Aluminium? Transparent aluminum?
my game summary is from what I gathered from people who I was talking to after the game.
Well, hold on. Let's set the stage here. Saturday game.
Yes.
CBC broadcast.
Yep. National broadcast.
Afternoon game.
Mm-hmm. Hockey day in Canada.
So big
That's
stage.
Key right there.
Anderson playing in the afternoon with the Heritage jersey.
I hate hockey day in Canada. We always lose.
Yeah. Apparently Mark Mathot had a nice goal in this game, and that's all the good news out of it. We lost 4-1. Next game, game number 50.
Oh, well, there's a lot of back passing. Carlson got a lot of heat from Brennan in regards to his reverse pass that Stepan picked up. I don't know if you looked at any of the replays.
There's one when the game, it was late in the third. They maybe had a chance of coming back.
That was a great one. That was a CC back pass to Phillips, who back passed it to Zuccarello.
Yeah.
Phillips was the last man back.
And that's when I tweeted the Picard face bomb.
Yes. That,
back pass when you're the last guy back.
That was the remote time that I actually got cell service where I was. That's the one that I got.
My phone was off because there's no service where I was.
It really was useless as a guy. I was going to put this on airplane mode. But yeah, so Carlson got caught behind the net with a reverse pass to went right to Stepan. I'm pretty sure that Stepan faked out with just yelling out, "Reverse!" and thinking that it was Mathot. Carlson just passed it back.
Probably. You know,
all these white guys look the same, right?
Is Stepan, where's he from?
I think he's Canadian.
I'm just wondering if he's francophone, because then he might sound a bit more like...
Well, Mark Mathot is not francophone. He speaks Ottawa French.
That's still francophone.
No, like, it's second language French, so. He has a French name, but he's not.
No, whatever. Okay.
But, yeah. So.
All right, enough of that game. I don't want to talk about it anymore, because I didn't see it.
Apparently it was bad.
Yeah, everybody was coming up for, I was cooking supper for 10 that night, and everybody who was coming up to the cottage was, you didn't miss much in this one. Okay, that's all I need to know. Thank you very much. I'll note that in my game summaries. Game number 50 was Tuesday, January 24th. The Senators were at the Capitals, and we have another game summary submission for this one, do we not?
Yeah, we do.
Excellent. It means I don't have to use mine. Play on.
This is CB Inc. reporting deep behind enemy lines south of the 401. Tuesday, January 16th, Ottawa versus Washington. Anderson's in net, Holtby's in net. No Alexander Ovechkin due to an undisclosed injury. Just 2 minutes into the first, we get a power play, and it was pathetic. Not a single shot on goal. I did notice that Spez has played as few minutes as his second year of play. Maybe he isn't 100%. Washington gets a power play from Spezza interference. And during this penalty kill, Carlson gets a great big hit on Grabowski. Anderson made some nice saves during this period, and he looked calm. And after the horn goes, things get a little pushy-shovey, but nothing happens. We start the second, killing off the remainder of Grabowski's interference penalty, and Cody Ceci looks just fine out there on the ice with or without a stick. Kyle Turris then gets an even-strength goal after skating the length of the ice. Thank you, Phoenix. Ottawa goes on the power play again from a high sticking on Zach Smith, but is cut short by a MacArthur tripping penalty. Sens, after two, lead by a goal. We kill the remainder of the power play going into the third, and Bobby Ryan has a great chance to score, but Holtby gets a small piece of it, and Bobby can't get it back under control. Ottawa gets a power play from a high sticking on CeCe, and Spezza scores. 2-0 Ottawa. Spezza really wanted that one. He played hard all night. Again, Grabowski trying to start something with Zach Smith, but Smith takes a 2-minute penalty and Grabowski a 10-minute misconduct. We have a 4-on-4 in this period, and not a lot happens. Sens win 2-0. Anderson gets the shutout. The shots were 34-26 for Washington. I gotta say, Anderson looked good for this game, but not good at all for the Montreal game. I think he'll find his groove again and return to being a great goaltender. Earlier this year, I think he was a bit tense in net. I think he's making his moves a little bit early and leaving himself wide open. Against Washington, he looked patient and calm and didn't bite at everything that came his way, and he was rewarded with the shutout. I think he's just been trying a little too hard. Goalies start to look at what they're doing wrong when they start to lose, even when it's not their fault. A few good wins, I think he'll be right back in form. We'll see you later.
Thanks, CB Inc. Again, listeners, if you'd like to do a game summary for us, we'd really appreciate it.
Very much.
Because it means we don't have to, and they'll be probably shorter than the ones that we do, at least some of the time.
And it's free!
And it gets you out there. You know, we'll give you an audience. We'll give you a platform. So feel free to email us at podcast@senscallups.com and say, yes, I will do the game summary for this game. And we will be very grateful, and we will mention your name when you do this. So there you go. Your name up in lights. Sort of.
And you get 10% of the proceeds.
We get proceeds?
Well, 10% is zero. It's still zero.
So. Exactly right. Well, we have still had donations in the last little while. We did thank
that's true, but those don't count.
Yeah, those aren't salary. So. Bunch of stuff has been going on with the Sens over the past week. First up, Mark Mathot claimed today that he was ready to play last night, but he didn't play last night. And it reminds me a little bit of back in December when he was coming back from an injury and he sat for, I believe it was only one extra game, and then he was put back in. It seems to be a bit of a debate between a healthy scratch versus still not ready to play. And Pan, you were telling me just before we started there was a bit more to this story, so over to you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And with this also, at FF Feisty asked us, why does Mac hate Mathot? So, so yesterday, or whatever the last game was, Mathot got scratched. He thought he was ready, as you mentioned. They wanted to keep him out. Mac said he wanted to keep him out just in case. He, I guess, had a mild hip injury. Mathot was held after practice and had to bag skate, which I don't think is very good for your hips. So, interesting. I think there's a little bit of infighting in there.
I hope not, but it's starting to look like there might be. Then again, you said it was Brennan who was reporting on this?
No, it was everywhere. Okay. Mathot actually came out on the radio today and saying that he wasn't very happy, which is a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
So,
infighting with who?
Well, I blame me for this.
You blame yourself for it?
For buying the jersey.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I'm wearing mine now in support. United, United in Mathot.
I'll wear mine proud. I'm not wearing mine right now, but I hope that it doesn't turn into yet another of I buy a sweater with a name on it and something happens and they're no longer in town, because I've got a bit of a bad record on that.
And that's the thing, because he's a hometown boy too, right?
Exactly, and he was really so happy playing it before.
He's an easy guy to keep.
You'd hope. You'd hope.
It's like, are you going to alienate him this much? If it's merited, it's merited. That I'm okay with. But if it's something wrong, because there's been a lot of lines and whatnot that I just don't understand what McLean's been doing this year, is that certain to toll on these guys? And McLean did say today, it's like we're looking for leaders who want to play. And he did name Mathot in the list of guys like that, like Neil and like Anderson, I guess. But there's got to be something wrong. Maybe there's just been too many disagreements or some insubordination. It's like, all right, well, if you don't want to play for me, then you're not going to play.
Wow.
Now, another thing that could be happening from this is from at Brian J. Kemp. Do you think the Sens may be playing some guys instead of others to showcase them for the potential trades?
Yes, that's what I think is going on.
Could be. And they know that Mathot they want to keep, so they're keeping him out of the lineup to showcase the Gribas and Weirkoshes of the world.
Yeah, that would probably be discussed to Mathot a little bit more. But I don't know why you take your top two guy from the start of the year and just get, okay, you're going to sit. Because we want to watch Weirkosh, especially with Cowan.
What if they just conveniently let him sit because he does have a hip injury and he's coming back from it, and maybe they do give him the bag skate because they want to test it?
Could be.
Oh, I don't know if you test it with a bag skate. Well, I guess you could, but then I would assume that you explain it to him that way.
Well,
when you get bag skated, that's a punishment.
Well, it's also a training regimen too.
I understand, but when you're the only one doing it.
Well, was there any other healthy scratch at that point? Because that was
before. No, this was after today's practice. So he did full practice and then he had to bag skate.
Maybe they're just testing his conditioning then, because he's been out for what, almost a week? I don't know.
Missed one game.
Only one?
Yeah, he's the only one that scored on the Rangers one. I didn't see him on the ice for any of the goals.
Rangers game. That's right.
I really do think there's some showcasing going on.
I hope so, because eight guys is way too much.
Yeah.
Well, I'd be really surprised if Murray hasn't been trying. Like, I'm sure he's working the phones, but there may just not be a deal out there. Hard to say.
Oh, I don't think there's a deal out there right now at all.
Well, there haven't been a whole lot of them made. Speaking of defensemen and defensemen and the media, Brennan and Erik Karlsson, It was late last week, was it not, that he was, Brennan was getting a little testy because Erik Karlsson wouldn't be talking to him? He wouldn't talk to him?
You wouldn't talk to press before games?
Yeah. And
how well has he been playing?
Very. I'll go with for 200. there was a little quote. He was actually on the radio on Friday, and he likes to stir things up a little bit. And he said his comment was, it would be interesting to see Erik. There was a conversation about the fact that Erik Karlsson isn't as well known as some of the other star players in the league. So he's certainly not the draw, especially in the U.S., as some other star players would be. And Brennan's response to that was, well, it would be interesting to see Erik Karlsson as a Toronto Maple Leaf.
Oh, yes.
And
the rest of the league doesn't know who Karlsson is.
Yeah. So if he was a Toronto Maple Leaf, then he'd have more exposure.
I forgot about this.
Yes.
Look, if you want exposure, walk outside today.
Exactly.
People die of exposure.
Yeah. Well, his take was that it's a higher profile team. So he'd have more exposure and the press would pay more attention.
Excuse
to him.
Me.
Oh, no, it actually gets better. You got to let me get one more point in here. His parting comment was, you get more exposure because the high profile team. But of course, I don't think he'd like the media coverage in Toronto or New York.
It's not as stellar as him.
Yeah, let's move on.
Well, hold on.
You were saying?
Just gonna say, and then Brennan started to dump on bloggers. Which, hey, Don, we do this for free, but just gonna say, Bonks Mullet, 6,224 followers, and he's been kind of up and running for a year. Don Brennan has been more than 20 years as an Ottawa Sun sports writer, 6,925. I'm just going to keep pointing that out.
Yes, well, he's a professional. He doesn't care about Twitter. Because he's published in a newspaper.
Yeah, well, whatever. Gary Auk has 20,000 followers.
Oh, no, I'm not even trying to play his devil's advocate. I'm just pointing out the fallacy of his so-called logic.
Ottawa's only Sunday newspaper.
Yeah, big deal, whatever.
Yeah.
Does it mean
that's where you just end up talking about his package.
Exactly. Melnick and Murray were at the NHL offices on Monday, and there's been a lot of speculation about what was being talked about. But I've not seen any actual confirmation of anything that was actually spoken about. Because it was Martin Luther King Day, and there was all sorts of comments about, oh, Donald Fehr was in on the meeting, and then it came out, no, Donald Fehr was here for a different meeting. He had nothing to do with that one. And there's been a lot of talk, especially on Twitter, which likes to not let the truth get in the way of, or facts get in the way of speculation, about what the conversations were about. Conversations that went on. And there was certainly an awful lot of talk about about Melnick presenting the results of the forensic investigation that he was doing. And I think Karlsson played that one very well. When he was asked about it, he said, I've moved on. Our owner really takes, good care of us. And he's certainly passionate about being our advocate and everything else. But what he's doing is what he's doing, and it has nothing to do with me, which I thought was an excellent answer. Excellent answer.
The Sens didn't play on Monday, right? That's why Karlsson talked?
I think so, yeah. And then there was also talk about it being all about money stuff.
I don't think so.
And not
with the new TV contract coming in.
I was going to say it's all speculation, but it's speculation that everyone's presenting. Oh, I'm sure this is what it was about.
Sens Chirp did say that he was informed that it was about the forensic evidence, and Sens Chirp is in the walls of the Scotiabank or Canadian Tire Centre.
Help! Get me out of these walls! Someone brick me in!
But even at that, even if Melnick were to present evidence that it happened, which is still, I don't know if it'd be admissible to court, and they said there was nothing that the league would do against Minnesota Wild or Matt Cook, that'd be a lawsuit against the Penguins, probably to, I would guess, recover the salary lost to Karlsson.
Probably something like that, yeah.
Because like, if your employee does something bad, like, I don't know, scratch your car, then you're, the company's responsible for it, right? So I think that's the same type of mentality.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's one, you could say that's one damage that's really cut into the bottom line.
The use of that sound clip is really the only good thing that's came out of this thing.
Really,
but could you imagine the lawsuit back?
Oh, I don't even want it. I don't even want to think about it. Like, it would just be dragged out and be ridiculous.
But like, even if this, let's say Carlson down the line has to retire with some type of leg injury that's resulted of this, you can go and go back and sue the Penguins for tens of millions of dollars, probably hundreds of millions of dollars at that point.
Well, at least tens, yep, for sure.
So what do you think the league's going to say?
We want nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
It's the sweep it under the carpet. Let's move on. Everyone's back.
Maybe it's time to cut your losses.
You'd better feel like a heel for all these bad jokes. Okay, enough. Let's move on.
Again, that's the only good thing that's come out of the forensics investigation.
Monday, so 2 days ago, Mark Stone was injured after he got a puck. A pass went into his feet and kind of stepped on the puck, and it sent him crashing into the boards. He was down for a couple of minutes, and he got up favoring his left arm and wrist. The last news I got about it was that he's likely to be out for several weeks.
Yeah, he's week to week.
Yeah,
Stefan, I don't think it was his wrist.
Okay,
so I haven't seen one tape to tape, Spezza.
Oh yeah, because everybody makes perfect passes 100% of the time.
A multimillionaire should nail that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Two. It looked like he was holding up his arm.
Maybe it just came in a joint.
That's either a separated shoulder or possibly, and I think it was him, collarbone.
Yeah, he hurt his collarbone last year.
And the year before that.
Yeah, so could be. Stefan DaCosta. Now, DaCosta was an emergency call-up, but if Stone
I don't know if he was emergency.
I heard
he was just called up.
I heard
I asked you guys if he was an emergency.
I think it was mentioned yesterday that he was, but if he stays, does it continue to be an emergency one, or does it translate into a regular one? I don't know.
Stays past. I think they have to send him down, but then that doesn't impact waivers.
Maybe. I think that's what it has to do with. An emergency doesn't have to affect waivers, but I don't know about you guys, but when I heard Mark Stone was hurt, I'm like, okay, who might they bring up? Stefan DaCosta was not the name that came to mind.
No.
Because Stefan DaCosta is a center. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone is a winger.
Showcasing.
Zach Smith is a, yeah. I think and so.
Maybe they're, yeah, that's the only thing I could think of, was they're trying to show off that he actually, I mean, he's one of the top scorers in the AHL.
He's a point of game player since going down.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I dump on him, but that's because he's not an NHL player. I dumped him hard on this at the start of the year, right? But that's because you saw it's a bandage ad down there going, this is a much better option.
So maybe they're trying to find a, you know, oh, look, he can play. Look, he's doing all right.
He's fine in the AHL, but he just can't make it.
I think he might be able to make it in the NHL if he was playing on a different team. Well, a team where he's not trying to play fourth line center. If you could make him a second line center, you'd have to be a pretty bad team. But if you made him a second line center where that was the role that he was trying to fill, I think he might do better than what he's trying to do now, because he's not getting many minutes. And he's getting all sorts of weird assignments because he's a fourth line. So, I don't know.
I think they're going to take whatever they can for him anyway.
Hey, Tim Murray, you might like to have him, please. We'll trade him for a bag of pups and a third round pick.
How about DaCosta?
Third round pick, good luck. We're going to get
sick. DaCosta for Yakupov. Straight up.
No.
Oh, come on.
Don't so want.
I don't.
It's a harmless trade.
All that. Only you know what it is, though? And I don't remember if we talked about this or not, or if it's just my own thoughts. Yakupov is only on the team because it's either NHL or junior form, right?
Yes.
And granted, Buffalo sent down, granted, Tim Murray's smart, but Buffalo sent down what's-his-face down to Quebec, and that caused a whole hoopla?
Yeah, because he refused to go originally. Then yeah. Eventually.
Well, it took him a day or sort of. No, that's mellow out about it. But Edmonton's not going anywhere. Is it really worth for them to keep him up here?
I don't think they can.
No, send him to Sarnia. No, you can't, because
you could.
Is it
but it's
Sarnia or is it KHL?
I think if he leaves, he said he won't go back.
Oh well. No, I guess you don't save much money, so it's a whatever thing, right?
He's not making that much, is he?
No, because it's entry level.
Exactly.
But I don't know. It's Well, yeah, I guess we get into Edmonton a bit, but. No, it's. I was very, very surprised to see DeCosta back based on position. Did he deserve the call up? Yes.
He's certainly been playing very well. But I just figured
it doesn't fit what we need right now.
Well, I did notice that at the beginning. Let me pull up my game notes for the. I was actually taking a few notes just in case CB Inc. didn't get.
I saw one good play by him in the Washington game, and the rest of it, he was invisible, but so was the rest of the team.
In the Washington game, at the 11-minute mark of the second period, the Neil Smith greeting line was back together. Smith,
which I love.
Yeah, it's a perfect. It's and that's you see the problem with bringing DeCosta up is that moved Smith to the winger for Spezza, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, unless they wanted to have two face-off guys, one's a right shot, one's a left shot.
It's because they don't know where else to put whoever.
Well, exactly. So it was.
And I would actually be more interested in seeing DeCosta as Spezza's winger. They could work quite well.
Maybe. I don't remember where he ended up being because I didn't hear his name a whole lot in the third period. So I don't know what he was doing.
I honestly don't think he played much. But then the other thing is that with putting Smith on the wing in your lineups, he's your only left-hand shot center. So any important left-hand shot face-off that you have to take, it screws up all your lines.
Well, unless they just put him in and say, Spezza, You don't take this face off because but then
you have to adjust back to your positions, right?
Or they
just generally would.
They just say okay for this shift, Smith's the center.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know. I don't know exactly what they did, but then you want to have those situational,
mm-hmm.
which I totally agree with the greeting Smith Neil. That either in the center or back in your own zone, you might want to put that line on instead of having Spezza in your own zone. But I don't know.
Well, the faceoffs for that game, I actually wrote this down because I thought it'd be a useful little stat. Yeah,
very much.
Ottawa 34, Capitals 29. But the numbers came out much more interesting than I thought. Konecker was 0-1. Konecker took a faceoff. DeCosta was 2-3. Mm-hmm. Greening was 1-1. Smith was 8-8. Spezza was 5-7, Turris was 7-6, and Zibanejad was 8-3. Which was the complete reverse. Zibanejad was terrible at faceoffs. I think it was the Montreal game. I think he was something like 2-8. So it just depends on the game. But
there were I guess who you're lined up with.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Canuck, were you trying to say something and I kept interrupting you there?
No.
Okay. I've
been doing that for 2 years.
it's the way I roll.
Nobody listens to me.
I just have to play these sound bites instead. It worked out, I guess. It's a 2-0 win, so what do you want, right?
I was going to say, a win is what you're looking for, but it was just some very interesting line juggling going on through that game to the point where I actually couldn't keep the lines straight, and I gave up trying to write them down. Oh, yeah. So, who's on the ice? I don't know. Have a look. There was an interesting question. And there's an interesting question on Twitter today. And this is the reason that I'm tuning out of a lot of what goes on Twitter, because I find it so ridiculous at times.
Can I bury everything?
Well, here it is. The question on Twitter today was, which prospect or player, prospects or players, would you be willing to trade for Matt Molson? Now, yep. Key point here is Matt Molson is a UFA at the end of this season.
DeCosta.
Yep.
The first four answers I saw, And this is why I tuned out right afterwards.
Spezza?
Surprisingly not. Oh. Mathot, Pumple, Greening, and Cowan. Okay. And my reaction to any of these would be, really? Pumple, okay. Prospect, not.
Pumple probably still has some.
He was
still a first-round pick, right?
He's a lot of upside, and he's young. So, I mean, yeah. of those four names, it's the least ridiculous.
And at @chickenboo_, you know, I'm trying to keep up with this dude because they asked us the same thing here with all the Matt Molson rumors flying around. What do you think it'll actually take to get him? And apparently the two teams in play right now are the Sens and the Kings. So, hey, Kings, if you want him, take him.
Well, you see, I'm not really sure I want him. I mean, yeah, he's got 15 goals this season.
I'll take him if it's a sign and trade. I don't see why Matt Molson would want to do that unless it's paying him a crap load of money. And I do think that Matt Molson could play well with Spezza, and that's one of the main things that this team needs. A winger to play with Spezza.
I'm trying to figure out... he's a left winger, which is what we would need for Spezza, but I don't know which shot he has, if he's left or right.
Let me look it up.
But you see, I was thinking the same thing as you. If we were to trade for Matt Molson, where on earth do we put him? With Spezza, okay. But then we're going to have three top lines that we're trying to figure out who gets the ice time. So...
you know what? If there's a Banishad line as my third line, I am extremely happy. And he's a left-hand shot for once. Fantastic.
Well, depends on what we have to give up. And I'm with you. If we're signing him and it's not you're signing a contract and then we're trading for you, I'm not really interested because whatever the asking price is going to be is likely going to be too high.
Yeah. While LA can give up, I think they still have it. If they give up their first-round pick for this year, form just really straight up. And I think Tim Murray would be very happy with that. That's maybe a number 23 onwards pick.
I think Tim Murray would be looking for something other than just a pick. He's got lots of picks already.
On a pending UFA?
I think he'd be looking to trade for a prospect. And the name that I would throw out there is a player that has been up and down with the LA Kings a couple of times that Tim Murray would be very familiar with.
Nolan?
No, Tyler Toffoli. I bet that's what...
Is he in Manchester, though?
Yes. Right now, he is.
Hmm.
I bet that's what Tim Murray would be asking for. Just, actually, you know, it's just
the Kings have a roster issue.
Well, they have a lot of... And they have...
No,
they have
because... Actually, what was it? They had to get rid of Cursillo to get... They had to get rid of Cursillo to bring Quick back off the injured reserve. Then they were able to trade... Scriven's away. So they're teetering on their roster numbers. So adding one just doesn't give them any room for any other type of injury.
Well, it would also mean that if they add one, that means they have somebody else sitting. So if there is an injury, they have a spare.
Whatever, most of them just go to Leafs. Everyone goes to
Leafs. But if we're trading for them without any contract, I'm not really interested. The last thing I think we need to do is bring in a because we honestly, as we spoke of last week, Brian Murray is really good at making trades in the offseason, but there's been a big trouble with... I don't necessarily mind the price that's being paid for players that are brought in as rentals, but they never seem to sign. They always come in, play, and then leave.
Well, that's just it. It's almost a waste.
Well, that's just it. The asking price is awfully high for a player that's not staying.
And we don't even know if we're a playoff team now.
Exactly. Yeah. We're still on the bubble at the moment.
That's why I think if the Kings want him, they can have him. I'm not really willing to give away a part for a UFA.
I'm not big on it either.
Yeah. If Molson had a year left,
that's great. A different story.
If you want to get him at free agency, even better.
Well, it depends on what he's asking for at free agency.
No, I know.
He may be rather expensive, but.
Well, depends on how.
Depends on what the Islanders offer.
He'd be damn good on this team. I don't think he's going to go back to the Islanders. There's a sour taste there.
He knows he has good chemistry with one of the players there or on the lineup there. So if they offer him enough money and that team is starting to play better and they've certainly got things coming together, I don't know. He might.
Yeah, I think Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo would also jump in at the chance if they can get Nolan's kid there. I forget his first name. I want to say Owen, but that's obviously wrong.
Well, we'll see how that one turns out. But I'm not really big on trading for Molson if he's still a UFA. I just
and not at not at this point.
Yeah,
I'm just not a big fan of Molson products in general.
Yeah,
you're really bringing the cheese tonight. This is good.
Fromage.
La fromage, la belle France. Thank you very much. Just before we go on to other stuff around the league, quick update on Binghamton. Team record is 25-12-0-3. They're still leading the East Division by 1 point over the arch-rival Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. Frederick Claesson, defenseman, who's really a defensive defenseman more than anything, has an assist in 5 straight games. He's got 2 goals and 19 assists for 21 points in 40 games.
Call him up.
For a defensive defenseman, and he has the second best plus minus in the league at plus 27.
Call him up.
So we're going to have 9 defensemen?
Yeah, 3 lines of defensemen.
We're going to play 3 defensemen and 2 forwards.
Hey, Mathot, can you play forward?
That could be interesting. This Saturday in Binghamton, the Rochester Americans are in town, and it's also Binghamton Hockey Hall of Fame night, and Denis Hamel will be inducted into the Binghamton Hockey Hall of Fame. He played parts of 6 seasons with Binghamton, and he leads the franchise in games played, goals, assists, and points, which I think is very cool that they're putting him into the well-deserved. He spent a lot of time down in Binghamton and was certainly a cornerstone of that team for quite a number of years. So good on the organization for doing that.
And I remember what on his in his twilight years, too, because he had a two-way. He came up for, I think he lasted a half season up here. And then afterwards, he's just like, you know what? I just want to sign an AHL contract. Yeah. I want to lead your guys. I want to be able to do that. But I want stability for my family.
Yeah. That's what he, and he asked for that.
Instead of being up and down. Yep.
Yep.
He didn't even ask for the two-way. He's like, nope, I just want the AHL contract.
Good on him. Good leader. Good leader for sure. Now, was there anything else, Senators, you wanted to talk about before we go into other stuff?
I'm trying to break in some of this interactive stuff that we're trying for today. Stuka 2 emailed in regards to the standings because it's we're real thick in it right now. Hey, guys, it's Stuka 2. If I gave you guys the option of using divisions from last year or the new wildcard format, which would you choose? I do not enjoy staring at the wildcard standings and miss the Northeast Division. What do you guys think?
Well, the only reason I don't like staring at the wild card standings is because we're out of it. I mean, I like the format better, but at the end of the day, the only reason we're out of the playoffs is because we're not good right now. We have Montreal, Boston, and Toronto all ahead of us in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go for the top 3 spot. You can't just play for the wild card.
I'm not fond of the whole, I've stated this before, that I don't like the whole concept of divisional playoffs. I much prefer the conference format, but right now we're where we deserve to be. Whether it was the old format or the new format, we'd still be a bubble team because that's what we are.
Yeah, look it up right now. If in the old format, we'd be 9th, just behind Columbus.
Oh, gee.
Which is where we are.
Which is pretty much where we are. But the one thing that I've really found with the difference is before, bad teams would make it in. Now, good teams are going to be left out.
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
So it actually makes, I would say, it's going to make the making playoffs that much harder. It might be because their division is really good, but then when you look at the Metropolitan, sorry, the Money Division, Pittsburgh's just going to be there forever. And they just beat the crap out of everybody else. The Islanders were good last year. Now they're, and I don't remember really what they've changed on the team. And Vanek Nabokov's been hurt. Well, yeah, Vanek's an improvement on Molson.
That's but the only major change that I can think of.
Yeah, that's it. So how do they go from actually being an 8th seed to maybe 3rd worst in the league? And that's looking at Edmonton.
Senators, bad start. They had I think the Senators turned their season around faster than the Islanders did.
Yeah, your 4-point games of sorry, keep going.
They're very similar, though. They had very, the teams had very similar horrible starts. It's just that Ottawa started playing better, not great necessarily, but better sooner.
Yeah, I think 4-point games have turned into 8-point games, and all the other games ended 6-point games, 3-point games.
It's a little crazy. A question for you, and this is an honest question because I do not know the answer to it. If there are 5 teams from the Atlantic that make the playoffs, so the 3 plus 2 Atlantic Division teams make the 2 wild cards, one of them moves over into the 4th seed in the Metropolitan?
Yeah, dead last goes to the Money Division.
So they would end up playing Pittsburgh
in the first. Yeah.
Because
I don't have the cash to pay for the tickets.
As opposed to playing Boston in the first round for finishing in the other wild card position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, no, thank you. It's, well, not for this team for this year, but like, I'm not really pushing to make the playoffs if it's just going to be a 4-0 against Pittsburgh, who's playing a hell of a lot better this year. Because Fleury went to therapy in the summer, which is fine because it helped him. Jared Cowan needs the same.
If we make the playoffs, we make the playoffs. If we don't,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to buy tickets to it.
I don't care about buying tickets or not buying tickets. I'm just looking at
like
the playoffs.
$300 in the ball.
So you don't go.
Well, no, you can't.
Just think of all that gate revenue. And all the extra money Melnyk would have.
Somebody else will buy them if you don't buy them.
Those forensic evidence don't pay for itself.
You're really on tonight. What's that banana bread beer you're drinking?
That's banana bread beer.
You're bringing it.
Hallelujah, we have banana bread beer.
I wanted to go back. This is something I was going to do last week, but we kind of started running a little long, so I didn't do it last week. I want to go back to the 2011 draft for a minute. And it's an honest question. And yep. I sent you guys a list of the top 8 in order draft picks, which for the listener would be number 1 was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, number 2 was Gabriel Landeskog, 3 was Jonathan Huberdeau, 4 was Adam Larson, 5 was Ryan Strome, 6 was Mika Zibanejad, 7 was Mark Scheifele, and 8 was Sean Couturier. Now, using revisionist history, or our looking back glasses, or whatever you want to call them, what changes?
Think back.
The think back machine.
Do it.
I didn't tell Canuck that I was going to be needing that sound.
No, I know.
So it's okay.
And that's why we're going to vamp until he finds it.
But
no.
Of those picks, how would you rearrange them, knowing how those players have developed since then? First, off the start, I would not say that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was the number 1 overall pick.
Gabriel Landeskog.
I would say, well, Landeskog or Huberdeau, I would say, was probably the number 1.
I think Florida's kind of done with Huberdeau. I don't pay attention to the, like, I really don't look at the West. Huberdeau, I don't think Florida really likes him that much.
I'll take him.
I understand. Well, granted, they love the Barkov down there, but I think Landeskog is probably the front runner.
Yes, I would agree.
RNH next, then Huberdeau. Larson, I don't even know if he's in the league right now.
He's played a total of about 5 games in the league. He's back in Albany back in Bridgeport in the AHL. He was up for a couple of games with Jersey, but he's already been sent back. And so was Ryan Strome. Sorry. Larson is with Albany. Strome is with Bridgeport. Sorry, I had those backwards. So they've only been up, I think they have less than 10 games each in the NHL between the two of them.
Yeah, so I guess Landeskog, RNH. I probably have to say Huberdeau, but Zibanejad's next.
I would put Zibanejad fourth. Scheifele. And then
maybe Couturier had a bad year. I don't know how he's doing this year.
Not great, but not as bad as last year. Not as good as this.
Scheifele's an offensive powerhouse.
He's doing very well. He was a very unexpected pick in that draft. But I have to give Winnipeg credit. They certainly made a good pick with that one.
Yep.
Because he was expected to be somewhere down in the 30s.
I'm pretty sure they missed out on a lot more, though, but
I'd say
maybe not. Maybe not. Really
them. I looked at the numbers after 8, and you know, it kind of dropped off after those guys. That's why I only picked the top
Riley 8. Guy. You would have picked him number 1 if you could.
That's good luck with that.
Yeah, actually, now, do you want to continue on with Winnipeg? Because I really want to continue on with Winnipeg.
We'll talk about Winnipeg in just a second. There was one other thing I wanted to talk about just about AHL players, because Stroman Larson are in the AHL. Players who play the last 15 of the play 15 of the last 20 games before the Olympics, which were in the middle of that stretch. There are only, I think, 14 left or 12 left before the Olympics. Players who play 15 of the last 20 games before the Olympics are ineligible to go back to the AHL.
Whoa.
So, for example, Cody Ceci has played, I believe, of the last 20 games, he's already played 6. So if he plays 9 more, he cannot go down to Binghamton and play in Binghamton during the Olympic break. He has to sit out.
2, 3, 4. We have 10 games left. We have 9 games. Sorry, we have 9 games left.
Okay, I hadn't done the math exactly because some of this I wrote down a week
ago.
They
probably will sit him out just so that he can go down and play.
No, you know what it is? They're waiting for a trade. And if there's nothing, they'll send him down on the last game.
Yeah.
But if they can't send him down. If he's played 15 of the last 20, he's not allowed to play in the AHL during
I understand that, but after game 14, then they'll send him down.
Yeah.
If they don't have a trade in place.
I see what you're saying. True.
And then you don't have to pay him. Well, granted, I don't know if you get if it's paid per game schedule, but then you also pay him the AHL salary over the NHL salary.
Exactly.
Very good one. Very good review, though.
It was just one of those things that was pointed out. And I went, hey, now Stone, because Stone is now hurt, may not be eligible for this, depending on when he comes back. But if he comes back and he is well enough to play and he hasn't played, then he can go back down and play down there instead of sitting out another 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Pajot can stay down there and Acosta can stay there.
Exactly right. Now, before we go on to other teams, you wanted to talk about Winnipeg.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Winnipeg with Mark
Scheich. So big news out of Winnipeg today, and I think it's Highway Dog on Shaky Highway Dog. On Twitter?
I think it's
the same guy. I don't know if he listens anymore. But Highway Dog, I guess, is in Winnipeg, and he was losing his mind.
Oh?
Over the hiring of Paul Maurice.
Well, it was a bit of a head-scratcher for me. I'll say that. What was he losing it about?
Because they picked Paul Maurice.
head-scratcher.
Head-scratcher, yes. That's because they picked Paul Maurice as an ex-Leaf. I just don't think that Highway Dog liked him.
Well, Paul Maurice is a bit of a hard-ass coach.
Compared to Claude Noel.
Well, they're not exactly cut from the same cloth, but they're cut from similar cloth.
I don't know if you found the synergy in this.
If I found the synergy?
Synergy with Paul Maurice in Winnipeg.
I haven't.
Andrew Ladd.
Used to be in?
Carolina with him.
Carolina?
Oh, okay. The cup together. So I have a fit because Claude Noel lost the room. And you could really tell that because when they're saying trade Bufflin because he's not paying attention, trade King because he's not paying attention, and they're both black. So what? The coach just lost them. In the same way, very, very much like Clouston, because you're a hard ass and you have no experience in the league, so who are you to tell me what to do? Especially in the way that organization worked. Now, you know that what happened, especially with a fragmented room like that, the team looks at their captain. Now, with this new coach coming in, all right, Andrew, what do you think of this guy? It's like, yep, this is the right guy for us. And they'll just jump all on board with it.
I won a cup with this guy.
I want a cup with him. I know what he's like. This is what he expects out of us. And let's go. We're good.
True enough.
And Paul Maurice does have the cup and the experience. And he was extremely young when he started in the league too. So
I think he was 28.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Coaching. Yeah.
I think he lost vision in his eye or something like that.
I'm not sure.
I don't remember exactly. I might be getting him confused with someone.
The trouble with Winnipeg is I've just heard that the room is cold.
Oh,
yeah!
Okay, but only at certain parts of the year. At other parts of the year, they have a bit of a mosquito problem.
Hmm.
Moving on.
Stinger.
Winnipeg's known for many problems. But I'm trying to find their games. But Pavlich was just getting fed to the Wolves.
Well, they're 4-0 under Paul Maurice including beating Anaheim. Was it they?
At home. Anaheim?
At home. For the first in regulation. That was the first team that's done it all year. Winnipeg.
Yeah.
What?
Any given night, I guess.
Oh, no, not any given night. It's one out of 20.
Well, sorry, it's a play on the any given Sunday ruled in the NFL.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, do you think that that's changed? Was it the coach?
Yeah, I think so. Guess so. Perry Pern was also fired when closing office.
Perry Pern's is hard to get fired.
Well, he's been fired twice now in, what, three seasons? three times in five?
Philly? Yeah.
Montreal. Wasn't he in Montreal?
I think he was in Atlanta.
Oh, I thought he was
in Montreal. Yes, you're right. Yes, because they fired Perry Pern. Martin fired Perry Pern to save his own butt, and that didn't work.
That didn't work.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving around to other teams. There's lots of little bits from other teams to talk about. Nashville traded right shot defenseman Kevin Klein today for left shot defenseman Michael Delzotto.
Different game.
They play a different game.
Yep.
They have exactly the same cap hit of $2.9 million.
But
except Delzotto's an RFA at the end of this season. Klein is a UFA at the end of the 2018 season.
Yep.
And I wonder if this is a Vigneault influence. Because Vigneault would know Kevin Klein from his days in Vancouver when he would have seen the Predators regularly. And said, this guy, we're trying to move Delzotto.
They've got professional scouts too. That could definitely, because that helps out. But you also have professional scouts looking everywhere.
They've been trying to deal Delzotto for months now.
Well, exactly. I'm surprised they actually got something for him.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. It might be a good change of scenery.
It seems like kind of one of those deals that just hopefully benefits both teams and benefits both players.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So when you look at it, now Nashville's got Weber, Delzotto, Seth Jones on D.
Not bad.
Ryan Ellis is, I think he's pretty much done. He's just too small for the NHL.
All those other guys are certainly big enough.
I don't know. And that was the one thing, is when we watched that Nashville game, I had no idea who the hell these guys were. I know Fisher. I know Cullen. And that's obvious. And I know Legwan. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly right. I don't even know their goalies at the moment either. Like, who? All right. Whatever.
Well, they got Dubnyk, remember?
Yeah. I still don't know much about him except that he's big and
bad.
There was an excellent quote about Devan Dubnyk. I think it was yesterday, and I didn't write it down, so I'm trying to go from memory, which is spotty at best.
Devan Dubnyk, he's bad?
No, it was actually it was something. Now they were talking on the radio today that there's an excellent goalie coach in Nashville who's helped a lot of goalies. He's the guy who used to coach Dominic Hasek in Buffalo.
Oh, I
just can't remember his name. But the quote was
from, it Corsi?
No, it was a different guy. The quote was something along the lines of, he has a lot of bad habits.
Yeah, no.
Ooh, you just traded for this guy and this is what you're saying about him. Ouch.
Excellent. I know he's brutal.
Yeah. An excellent Patrick Roy quote yesterday.
Yep.
I don't know if you saw this one.
Yeah, we're bouncing around everywhere.
Exactly. We're just going from team to team. It's kind of fun. We're an open ice segment. We can do whatever we like. 2 weeks ago in Toronto, I thought they were going to trade everybody. Now they're talking about winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, Patrick has been out of Montreal for a while. He's forgotten how Toronto is.
Sounds pretty par for the course for Toronto.
Pretty much.
Oh, that's exactly it.
I thought it was a great quote. I thought it was funny. Calgary versus Vancouver on, was it Saturday?
Yep.
Is it Saturday? Okay. Yes.
Hold on. Let me get to where is special deliveries email.
Well, I was gonna go to the special delivery email after this particular question because the talking about the game will lead into that email, I think, rather well. The fourth line started for Calgary, and there was a line brawl 2 seconds in, and then Torts tries to get into the Calgary dressing room after the first period. He gets suspended for 15 days, which is 6 games. Hartley gets fined $25K, I think it was 25K. I wrote that down, but yep. I put it, okay. And then afterward, Brian Burke tweets, I'm perplexed by this fine. I stand behind Bob Hartley completely in this regard and remain confident that he acted properly in every aspect of this game.
Truculence.
Now.
Hashtag truculence.
In this particular instance, Calgary was the visiting team.
Yep.
So they submitted their starting lineup first.
Yes.
Yep.
So, and Tortorella even said, I knew that that was the starting lineup that they were putting out there. And I still put my first line out anyway.
No, he put out his goon line too, didn't he?
Put out a goon line, yeah.
They both put out their goon lines.
They both put out the goon lines.
Oh, okay. I thought it was the first line that had been put out there. My mistake.
Oh, no. No, he did a line match.
Okay, so he did a line match. Why was he so heated about it? If he puts his goon line out against their goon line and they get into a brawl 2 seconds into the game, why is he so heated about it?
Because the Flames are bad.
So?
Who are you to do this to the Vancouver Canucks, Leafs West?
Suck it.
No, I know. That's why he was trying to go to the dressing room.
Oh, I see.
Do you want me to read the email now?
Yes, I think the email would fit rather well in here.
Great. So from the special delivery. So, hey guys, I was wondering if you had any comment about the opening line brawl and general shenanigans that happened between the Vancouver-Calgary game. I myself am finding that I am less and less fond of stage fights as I feel they put a complete halt to the game, waste time, and don't accomplish anything. Would love to hear other opinions. Your pal from Winterbeg. Special delivery.
I wholeheartedly agree. It was just a waste of time.
Yep. And I don't know if you guys know this, but Torts, when he was with the Rangers, did the same thing twice against the Devils.
So, in other words, somebody was using his strategy against him and he got heated because of it.
Yeah, I think this was when DeBoer was in New Jersey.
Okay.
So there's one game where DeBoer put starting lineup was the Thugs. Torts matched it up. The next time they played, Torts put out his Thugs. DeBoer matched it up and then said, you know what, that's enough. So we get it. But they understood what they were doing. So now Calgary just did it again. Here's the thing that with my point of view with it, because Bieksa, or I can't even say it, Bieksa, who's the defenseman, ended up pushing the center out of the faceoff dot, and I think that was that kid's first NHL game. Yes. So Bieksa wanted to take the draw with the referees. So first, there are two wingers chirping at each other, and then you see the defenseman come into the faceoff dot. It's yes, you're to enforce the rules of the game, but you can also, and this is where I guess you can call it managing the game as well. You know exactly what's going to happen in this. So then you pick the two wingers. I would guess it was Sestito and
McGratton.
Both of you off, unsportsmanlike conduct, and you waive it. Well, that would also be a penalty. So then you can reset it, or you waive out Bieksa, or you do both.
Well, as it turned out, Bieksa didn't actually fight with.
I did.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
With Westgarth?
He didn't. Westgarth ended up fighting with the center who was waived out.
No.
Yes.
No, Westgarth fought Bieksa.
Westgarth went after Bieksa. Bieksa wouldn't fight him. He skated away.
Oh, I don't
it ended,
know.
It ended up being, I can't think, I want to say Ladd, but that's the guy from Winnipeg. It was a name, like four-letter long name. I think it began with L. Can't think of it. But it was actually those two who ended up going because it was his first NHL game. And the guy's 6'6" and 240-some-odd pounds, I think it is. And he's the one who ended up actually fighting with Westgarth. Because Westgarth wanted to go with BX, and BX said, no, I'm not dropping my gloves. I'm not doing it.
No, it's... Okay.
Personally.
So I don't remember exactly what happened, but this is where if you don't want this in the league, that's when, okay, dropping your helmet when you're actually heated and all of that, like taking off each other's helmets and they're jumping in. You know what? Control the game this way. You do that, you give each of the coaches bench misconduct, and then you warn them. And then that would have diffused everything. Anything else happens, you throw the coach out of the game. If they really want to make a point of it, then you throw out the coach. And here's the other thing. If the coaches were that heated about it, the refs should have thrown them out too.
I think they should have thrown them out, and they should have thrown all 10 players out.
They threw out everyone except for the first fight. Which
out
is the right.
Out of the game or only 10-minute misconduct? Did they get a game?
No, it's a game which counts as 10 PIMs for your own penalty minute count.
Okay.
So there are 8 players ejected, and the first fight was 5 for fighting, which was Sestito and McGrattan. Which, whatever, right?
Which is a staged fight. And to get back to Special Delivery's email, I'm not fond of them either. The McGrattan going with Sestito at some other point of the game, or with the designated tough guy going with the designated tough guy at the 9-minute mark of the first period when they're both on their second shift of the game, no point. And I see no use to it either. And I agree, it brings the game to a halt, and it wastes time, and it doesn't accomplish anything because it's, you know, the two guys are kind of justifying their existence, but that's about all. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't do anything. I don't see the point of it. But, you know, there's the other side of the coin where we have, when Matt Cassian plays, there tends to be at least a little bit less crap go on in a game. And I mean, yes, he's the nuclear deterrent, but he also, it just seems to keep things a little calmer. And I'm not talking about the fact the overwhelming winning record this team has when he's dressed and in the lineup, which is, I don't have the number in front of me. I think it's something like 17-5-2 or...
No, I think it's a 7.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. But I'm not talking about that. It's just that when he's in a game, it seems to be a little less garbage happens. Whether it's simply because they know that he's around, and I don't think he's actually going to start, pounding on some little weasel. If it was Patrick Coletta, that'd be great. But, if something happens, he's the big weapon sitting in the background going, I'm here. I don't know. I don't like stage fights, never have. I've always considered them pointless, but they happen because some guys need to continue to, somebody like John Scott doesn't do anything else. Matt Cassian has showed in the past 10 or 15 games that he actually can play a limited role. He's not a defensive liability. He's not a scoring threat.
No.
But he's not a defensive liability.
He's a roamer.
Yeah. But he's not going to be, it's not like the team is suddenly playing a penalty kill because there are only 4 skaters out there plus him. It's not that at all. So I don't have a problem with him being in the lineup. I just want him to, not go with the other team's nuclear deterrent as well because they think they need to. And for the most part, he doesn't. It's once in a while, but he doesn't all that much.
Yeah.
But I agree, it's a waste of time.
Right. Yeah.
Now.
Let's move on a bit here.
Let's move on. Two. Quickly, just a couple of things. Florida's been awarded the 2015 draft, but there was no word about an all-star game. Because normally, actually, they don't usually go together, do they? Never mind. That was only in my own mind. Funny episode in the Detroit versus LA game last weekend. I don't know if you saw this. The puck hit the netting. Then it hit quick, and then it's in the net.
Yep.
And it counted. Yeah. It was the tying goal in the game, and it counted. Because they said it was not reviewable, and actually it is reviewable. And Kelly Fraser went into a fairly long article about that. But they said it wasn't reviewable because they didn't see it. And that, I'm sorry, if there are 4 officials on the ice, one of them, surely, is watching the puck.
Like, isn't the linesman supposed to check to see if the puck has crossed the line?
Well, surely you can see it if it hits the netting. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Every time I'm in a game and I see a puck hit the netting shivers and there's a little wave pattern that expands out.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty freaking obvious.
It really hit high on the netting, too.
Exactly. This is an obvious thing. It's not, it went off somebody's, the back of somebody's skate and whatever. No, it's pretty obvious. And this was the goal that tied the game for Detroit, and Detroit goes on to win that game.
Need some of that puck luck.
Oh no, we need less of that sort of refereeing. Quite frankly, we need less of it. Now, Edmonton made a trade. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. They traded Devan Dubnyk to Nashville for Matt Hendricks, who's a 32-year-old forward who's played for Colorado, Washington, and Nashville. And then they turn around, and trade their third-round pick for this upcoming draft to L.A. for Ben Scrivens. Pretty gutsy move, I would say. You know, they move one goalie out and bring another one in. And
how do you think Dubnyk feels?
Well, maybe
like, okay, we're going to trade you for another piece. It's like, okay, well, that makes sense. Now we're going to go and pick up a guy for a pick.
Well, I mean, if you were Nashville and you could have got Ben Scrivens instead of Devan Dubnyk for a lower asking price, maybe they were trying to move Matt Hendricks out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Okay.
They're a very budget team.
Okay. Well, apparently a reporter for the Edmonton Sun went after Ben Scriven's wife.
Yes.
On Twitter. Did you read this?
Yeah, I heard about this.
Okay. Well, I actually wrote the tweets down because they're pretty good. Yep. And Ben Scriven's went back at the reporter with the following. Hey, at AVP Reports, classy move writing a slam story by cherry-picking tweets my wife sent, making it seem like she doesn't like Edmonton. You're gutless. And to those who commented on the article or tweeted at her about how she's lazy, even though she's not in Edmonton now because she has a full-time job in L.A. and can't just up and leave, or that she married rich, even though we got married when I was playing in the NHL, or that she's dumb, she's an Ivy League and graduate school graduate. Just know I'm embarrassed to say I'm an Edmontonian. Way to make my family feel welcome. Ben Scrivens is from Edmonton.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Well, the Edmonton area.
Oh, that's really unfortunate for them because he is not coming back.
Yeah.
So congratulations, because don't forget that Jersey doesn't get a pick. Edmonton just lost at 60th overall for nothing. Because Scrivens can, you know what? I would love to have Scrivens as a backup.
I wouldn't mind him. He's not a bad goalie.
Not a bad goalie.
No.
He got outplayed by that Jones kid in L.A., but.
Well, LA is pretty deep at goal, so
yeah. So they don't.
It happens. They got.
I don't know what the hell Anaheim's doing, but
they're deep.
They've got like four guys that can actually play.
Exactly. Some teams are really deep, and you know, if you can move on to somewhere else and do better, all you know, that's good for you. But is Scrivens an RFA or a UFA at the end of the season? I don't know. I haven't looked. It's an honest question. I just haven't had a chance to look it up. It just came to mind now. If you want to look that up, man, there's one other thing about Edmonton. There was a letter from Daryl Katz. Kates? Thank you. Who's the owner? Two Oiler fans calling, and basically, to summarize in two talking points, calling for patience, saying, yes, I understand this is the eighth year that we're outside the playoffs, but it's the fourth since the rebuild starting with the drafting of Taylor Hall.
What?
Now,
Cats, you said.
Cats.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, puns.
Well done. Well done. Now, if
he loves alienating Edmonton, eh?
He certainly doesn't endear himself, does he?
Oh, he's like, all right, so I want to build a new building downtown. Great. You're going to pay for it. What?
Yeah. Wait a minute. What? Yeah, what? I want you to build me a new building, which I'll then manage and make money off.
Okay, tell you what, I'll lease it back to you.
Unreal. absolutely that unreal.
Sense. And like, really, you're asking for patience?
And when look
at this team. With their goaltending is Brizgalov and Scrivens. Not bad. Their forwards are young and very, very powerful. Les Hemsky. The defense is atrocious. That's all you need to make this a competitive team.
And both of his goaltenders are UFAs at the end of the season.
And one of them is definitely not coming back.
Well, I think both of them might not be coming back.
No, Priscilla, I was going to look for bigger, better things, but exactly. I don't know who's needing something like that. But
see, if he plays well enough to get a job somewhere else, we'll see.
Yep.
I just looked at all of this going, you know, you're not really endearing yourself to the fans of the team that you own by coming out with you. Please be patient. I know that we're in the fourth year of our rebuild, but give us some more time.
We've got four more years to go on, and we've been in it for eight.
Unreal.
It's like, so then the first guy is going to be 16 years in?
Yeah, crazy.
35 and retired.
Quickly, we wanted to talk about, you mentioned something to me. Oh, sorry, just before we go to the Olympics, which is what's coming up right after this point. New Jersey. The Devils are coming on pretty strong at the moment. They beat the Blues, who are a pretty good team, 7-1 last night. The announced attendance, 2,000.
Yep. Now, I think it was the weather, though.
Oh, I know. There's a big storm going on. But stop and think for a minute. You would actually announce the number of fans that are in the building. When was the last time the NHL did that? Rather than the number of tickets sold for the game.
You know, it's because they probably don't even have those tickets sold. It's probably all a walk-up audience.
Crazy. Absolutely
so
crazy.
You see why when I say that I have to go to the games if they're here? It's because I don't want to miss things like that.
You don't want to miss a game of 2,000 or beating the Blues 7-1?
No, winning 7-1.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
See, you miss a win like that?
Well, that's a feel-good moment. I'll give you that. Sure. I'll give you that. You wanted to talk about the Olympics.
Yep. So for Team Canada?
Yeah, go for it. I don't know what...
Crosby was announced as the captain, and it came out today. That Crosby wanted to check with Taves if it was okay with him, if Crosby would be the captain.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Crosby wanted to check with Taves?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
What the hell is Taves supposed to say to that?
No.
No!
Mine?
Mine! Mine! Like, come on. Just try to make yourself feel... Like, honestly, what's he going to do? Because you know what? Taves is a great team player. If Taves would have been that, he probably would have said, you know what, maybe Crosby should be the captain. And if Crosby honestly felt that he wanted, that he thought that Taves would be, should be the captain, then he would have said the same thing.
Hmm. Interesting.
But it's the Crosby show.
Oh, absolutely.
And C is for Crosby, and it's good enough for me.
Okay, that was solid.
There's your MUP for the week.
Well done, sir. Well done. Canuck, we have two emails to read. You have the first one from Seely.
Yes. Subject line is trade. Hey guys, I just thought up a possible trade that I would love to see. Seeing as Anaheim will be looking for an offensive defenseman since Surrey is out for the season, trade Weirkotch and a prospect for Silverberg. I was so sad to see him leave. Look forward to your thoughts. Cheers, Seely. Well, I mean, unless you're talking the prospects of Lazar, who wouldn't make that trade on as a Sens fan?
Yeah.
But I can't picture Anaheim accepting that.
Anaheim wouldn't do that because Silverberg was the...
He was the piece for Ryan.
Main piece.
He's the cornerstone of that trade.
So you're not going to trade Weirkotch for that?
I don't think so. I'd make the trade, though.
Oh, yeah. Brian, so would that be Weirkotch, a broken Neeson, and a first-round pick for Ryan, essentially?
Yeah.
Yeah, no thanks. they're not going to do that. And they do look back at things like that, too.
I would think so.
I like Silverberg, but I think we've got other options for it. And he does fizzle out, and granted, his hand was broken by Cowan. I don't really see that he's done that much more yet. Got a tweet here also from Molar Doctor, or a friend.
Yep.
So, and I'm reading the wrong tweet. He was chirping me for not knowing the answer to things. Okay, so at Molar Doctor, who's fun, but he tends to troll a bit. Ryan's play has been subpar lately. Looks even worse with Turris and Clark flying. All related to Olympics? I think not.
I don't think Ryan's play has been subpar. He may not have scored in a little while, but I don't think his play has been subpar.
Yeah, I think he got one in the last three games.
Yeah. Or actually, I think it's probably more than one in the last six or seven.
Did you see the breakaway that he missed?
Yeah, it just rolled off his stick. He went forehand, backhand, and just rolled over his stick.
Was it Holtby?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I think so. And it just missed the final tap in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it subpar. I think it's just regular what Ryan is. He's not a good skater, though.
Oh, come on.
He's not a good skater.
He's not the fastest skater in the world.
And hey, I say the same thing about myself. Man.
And that's why I podcast for free.
Yeah.
But the thing is, his foot speed isn't there, but his hockey vision is unbelievable.
He's average speed.
He's able to set these guys up.
Look, do you remember that old Nintendo game? It was something hockey, and you get to pick. You had like the big guy who was slow, but he could run everybody down. You had the regular guy, and then you had the little fast guy. But you touch anything, you fall over. You need the different pieces on your team.
Exactly. So I don't have a problem with it because his hockey vision and his hands are unbelievable.
Yeah. His situational awareness is just unreal. He knows where everybody is and what's going on, and he sets things up really well.
And that's why he can't play with Spezza, because Spezza doesn't play the game right.
they're kind of similar, but they don't mesh.
Because Ryan has hockey sense, and Spezza makes no sense.
Well, he makes things up, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
Got to be used to it. It's like, okay, so there's three guys on his in the way, so he's going to try to pass it through the legs. Or let's just hope the Carlson picks up this drop pass because no one else is around.
No, threaded a needle with the goal last night.
Or he yells, Omaha, and everybody goes offside.
You know, that was actually a really typical game of Spezza for the last little bit, or especially in like the bad seasons, is he does some terrible, terrible things. Just giveaways and back passes or loses it in the zone, but then he always pots one.
Yep.
Which makes him a point of game player.
Speaking of Spezza, you've led very well into the next email, which I get to read from Drew.
Thank God.
And I'm reading this cold, so I'll do the best I can.
Damn it, Drew.
Evening, gents. Last podcast, I brought up the future of Jason Spezza. You guys tore me to shreds when I suggested trading him, so let me present it to you in a different way. As of right now, Zibanejad is our third line center. As of right now, I'm fine with this. Next year, I feel Zibanejad needs to take the next step in his development, or he risks becoming another Couturier, which is a solid third line center. Sorry, not a third line center. Nothing wrong with developing a third line C, but I do not feel like wasting a sixth overall pick on it. Besides, Zach Smith has shown with his 9 goals so far and strong defensive play that he can be a great third line center. Anyway, if Spezza is still here next year, Zibanejad is stuck in the third line, or he is on the wing, where he is not as effective. So, do you trade Turris? I don't think so. Unless you want to fit a package up with Zibanejad to get another ready-now player, like we did with Ryan, I don't see how Spezza fits. My next point is a question to you fine gents, and it is somewhat contradictory to my last point. With prospects and young players like Lazar, Clayson, Wierkosz, Greiba, Wikstrand, Pajot, Prince, Pumple, Peterson, Stone, Zibanejad, Hoffman, DaCosta, Borowiecki, CC, etc. Also, with more drafts coming up and not knowing what other hidden gems we may have, it appears there won't be room for all these players in the NHL, especially on defense, where you could argue we have 9 to 10 defensemen that could play in the NHL right now.
And they're all up, yep.
No, not all of them are. My question to you is, which players would you be willing to package to get ready-now players, and which would you consider to be untouchable? Spezza's overrated. Great show. Drew. Now, Pan, you want to start with this?
Damn it, Drew! Don't shit on the captain!
Weren't you just doing that?
Weren't you just doing that?
The key with Spezza is if he comes back at even money. And not even cap money, even salary money. 4.5 to 5, you know what? If he can dwindle down into the third line C role.
Yeah, that's not happening. We probably both know that.
The way that Zibanejad has been playing, he might actually be an okay one or first line center. But you're saying that you don't want to spoil a sixth overall for a second round pick. Well, you know what? Turse is a third overall. So you've got to use, I guess, that type of mentality. The names that you've mentioned in here, the untouchables that I wouldn't want to touch, Lazar and Zibanejad. And CC, sorry. I don't want to move CC. All the other ones, I think we can find pieces for it. But you need a balance of good guys and prospects on the way up. But yeah, the rest of them I'm not really attached to. But with some of these guys, I think you'd have to throw in a roster player too, if not one or two. Conacher's got very, very high trade potential, even though I really like Sox. Throw in a Greening. If the team needs defense, throw in a Condra. We can find someone like that. Pajot does okay.
I'd keep Condra over Pajot myself.
Oh, I would too. But it, but the thing is, if you need to give something more,
give Pajot.
Sorry?
I would give Pajot before I, like, Pajot yeah, as the, yeah, as the prospect. The other, and yep. somebody else is the
right. But
the
if you're roster. Looking for a top line winger,
yeah,
the other team's going to maybe want something of better quality, not just guys that can't really make the team.
I would to answer the first part of his question. Zibanejad is playing very well, and I would never say anything against that. He is playing even better than last year. He's doing very well. He's also 20.
Yeah,
and. As well as he's playing in the role that he's in right now with the wingers that he has, I don't feel he's ready to go from being what he is now to being the number one center on this team, regardless of who his wingers are. He hasn't played in that role yet.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we only have to think back to last year to, I mean, look at how well Kyle Turris is playing this year. And he's got very good wingers with him. Very good wingers with between Ryan and MacArthur. And that line is very good and producing very well, and I don't want to touch it for anything. But let us cast our mind back to this time, well, not this time, 6 weeks from now, last year, when Kyle Turris was trying to be the number one center on this team because Jason Spezza was out. And the one word that comes up to my mind is struggling.
Yeah,
he was trying.
He can't do it.
He was trying really hard in that role, but he was very young. He is a little bit smaller than Zibanejad, but it's not just about size. It's about mental age and maturity and development and a whole lot of other things. And Zibanejad is not in the same category as Kyle Turris. He's not close.
Not yet.
Not yet. He could
we have at least another year, then we've got to make a decision with Spezza.
Exactly. I would say Zibanejad in another year or two, when he's 22, 23 years old, that's when I think you can have that conversation. I don't think you can now. Because there hasn't been the body of work up to now to present that. Yeah. So,
and who knows, maybe in this case, then Zibanejad becomes a top six winger.
Yeah, could be. Could well be. And in the meantime, the people who I think are untouchable out of that whole list that I went through, Lazar, CeCe, everybody else is kind of negotiable. And I think there's certainly a lot of value in the players that we listed. There's certainly an awful lot of potential. I would really like to see Claesson up here next year, but I don't think there's space. And I think he's a very valuable defensive asset that we may be able to turn into something. Because it's either him or Borowiecki. Because they're both very good defensive defensemen. And they play very sensibly. Borowiecki is a lot more physical. Like offensively physical, like he really hits people hard because he likes to do that.
Yeah.
And
but I think Greiba can do that too. So if Greiba's gone, then that's...
Then that fills that void there, exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of juggling to go on in the offseason or as well as whatever gets traded now. So there's an awful lot of potential, but I just don't see Zibanejad being a number one center yet. Without it being way too much pressure and him not being able to succeed under the role that he's being put on him. And we've all seen what happens to players who get too much pressure put on them too young. I don't want to see that happen. This guy is a great player, but ask me the question again in at least one more season, probably two. So, excellent question, Drew. Thank you. You presented it well. I just don't happen to agree with you on this one, no matter how you present it.
Damn it, Drew, get on side.
Exactly. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? We've certainly gone on pretty well tonight. Certainly talked about a lot of different things. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up?
Okay, I'm ready for bed. Let's go.
Okay, it's getting late, for sure. Couple of quick things before we go. Number one, to our listeners in the GTA, friend of the show, Todd Van Allen, is performing at Absolute Comedy this Friday night, and it's a showcase for a spot to perform at Just for Laughs. So there's a really good lineup for the show, but if you go, make sure you cheer the loudest for TVA, because we really want to support him in this bid to get on for Just for Laughs. He's been a longtime supporter of the show, done some really excellent stuff for us, and we wish him all the best. So if you're in the GTA, please go to Absolute Comedy and cheer him on.
Yeah, I'll put his Canadian Tire promo at the end of the show, so you can, those who haven't heard of him.
Exactly.
Hear some of his stuff.
Good stuff. Week to come, we have this coming Thursday, the Sens are in Tampa Bay at 7:30 at night. The Friday night game has been moved to Saturday at noon. So the
Sens better play Leonard there because Anderson is terrible.
Why did he get moved?
Because the Hurricanes game against the Flyers got moved because of the weather that's going on in the U.S. right now. And I think there was going to be three games in a row, which the CBA says can't happen. So it couldn't be Friday night. It had to be Saturday. And it can't be Saturday night because the Senators have a charity event Saturday night.
It's their big one, too.
Yeah, so they have to be there. So the game is now Saturday at noon. So the sun's over the yard arm, so you can start drinking at noon. And game's on Sportsnet East. And game 53 is next Tuesday. The Senators are in Columbus again at 7 o'clock, and it's on Sportsnet East. So we can cheer on the team for that one as well.
Big, big games for the playoffs here.
Big time. All these teams are around us in the playoff hunt at the moment, so need to win them. Need to win them. Folks, we've talked about a lot. We always appreciate hearing your email, and love to hear from you at podcast@sendscallups.com. Follow us on Twitter. Retweet something if you see something you like, because we've been gathering callers. We're over 1,500 now. But the best way to get the word out about this podcast is to have people know about us. And visit the forums and join the conversations at sendsunderground.com. The game threads have been more and more entertaining as more and more people get into them. In the meantime, it's back to the deep freeze for the rest of this week. Stay warm, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, Gabe.
Hi there, I'm Eugene from the new Canadian Tire Centre in Kanata, Ontario. I'd like to tell you about the new specials we have coming in for the new season. You'll be happy to know that we have the usual Phillips screwdrivers on sale, as well as the new Mastercraft Kevlar socks that everyone should wear, especially on the mean streets of Pittsburgh. Wait, what? Not Pittsburgh anymore. Well, what? Minnesota? Minnesota. Wild. We also have special pricing on yard cleanup tools for the fall, giving you everything you're going to need to keep those awful, filthy, and annoying leaves out of your yard. Also, check out the new array of PK pylons and slug salt, all available at the center. Come on in and have a look around. We have ample parking and are located a mere 87 kilometers from downtown Ottawa. Come on in to the Canadian Tire Center, where you can give like tourists, save like Andy.